Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So, enjoy.
Hey, morning, church. There's like morning church. How you guys doing? You doing well today? Man, we're gonna have a good time. If you've got your Bibles or your Bible apps, you can head over to Ephesians chapter 4. That's what we're gonna launch into today. But before we get there, a few little things I want to give you just a shout out about. Yes, on the creative team, absolutely. Now, maybe you've got a skill singing or playing, or maybe you just want more cowbell. Donk, donk, and you just need to bring it. We will take that. We'd love to get you guys involved in our worship and what we're doing both here and our youth ministry across the board. Love how God is growing that ministry. Second, obviously we are still in jersey season, and tonight I say this afternoon because it happens at 4:30. We're going to be showing a game on the big screen here. So I think the game today is San Fran versus Green Bay. Yeah, the Packers. There we go. Yeah. Had a couple of Cowboy fans in the last service do some booing, but that's all right. So you can come. If you want to hang out, watch a game with us, you absolutely can. We'll have hot dogs for you, and we'll have snacks. Maybe you just bring a little something from the house. Maybe your special dip that you make or whatever. Yeah, if you want to come and cheer those two teams on, do it. If you want to come and just boo for those two teams, do it. We'll have a spot for you. You know, we're just going to have fun today. So that's at 4:30 this afternoon. Swing by. That'll be a blast. The second thing I want to give you a shout out to is the fact that we are passionate around here about discipleship. We love helping people grow deeper. Now, we haven't been able to do a lot of classes because things have been a little bit shut down with COVID, but as we're opening back up, we're also relaunching some of our discipleship classes. We're going to be doing one starting October 10th. On a Sunday morning, 10:15 service. So you can actually go to that class and you can come to this service, which will be awesome. And it's about going deeper in your faith. So if you're a newer Christian and you want to go deeper in your faith, this class is great. It's about 5 weeks. If you're a Christian that just want to get refreshed and kind of the gospel and who Jesus is, then this class is also for you. So know we'll be offering more and more of those as we grow our discipleship program. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is awesome, right? But it's not the best thing. This should never be the best thing that we do in a week. It's getting involved in small groups. It's getting connected in these classes. It's growing deeper as we connect with one another, which is what we're doing in this series, right? So we've been in this series called One Anothering. If you're brand new to us and you're wondering, what is Pastor Jim going to talk about today? We're kind of tracking through all the one another's that are in the New Testament. Well, not all of them. There's like 40 of them. We're not going to do all 40. I'm picking the top five. We've got two more to go. One this week and then one next week, and then we'll shift gears a little bit. But I'm giving you the top five that will help us be who God's called us to be. You know, God's called you to be someone like you're not just, hey, I'm just me. I'm just doing me. Just do me. That's not what the journey with Jesus is about. We are called to be something. We're called to be not only an ambassador, his light, his grace, but we're also called to be something as a church community. When people walk in those doors, they should be able to say, man, there's something unique about that group of people. God must be real if those two people are sitting beside each other and like smiling and praying for each other, then God must be real. And that's a part of what these one another's help us do. They help us figure out how to do life together. And so we've covered encourage one another, which I hope you've been doing, encouraging one another. We did pray for one another, which was awesome. In fact, this week we had a leadership meeting, elder leadership meeting, and we just prayed through every chair in here. We prayed for through every part of the campus. So the seat that you're sitting in has been prayed for, that God would do a work for whoever was here today. And that was just, we've been praying. Last week was the tough one. You remember last week? This was a hard one. I got quite a few feedback emails going, man, Jim, I really wish you could have skipped that one. But we're doing this. Love one another. Whew. I don't know if you had to work on that this week. Maybe someone in your life that was challenging to love as you kind of pressed in. Well, this week, I probably actually should have started with this one, because the one we're going to do this week is the linchpin. Like, if we don't do this one, then all those other ones honestly are going to be impossible. If we don't get our hearts and minds around this one another that we're talking about today, then encouraging one another is going to be impossible. Then praying for one another is going to be impossible. Then loving one another is going to be impossible. And we find it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, our one another for today is this right here. It's the Apostle Paul speaking to us, and he says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another," but that's not it. "Forgiving each other." Got your Bibles, just underline that, highlight that, mark that, write it on your hand, write it on your neighbor's hand. "Forgiving one another, just as Christ, as God, forgave you." And that's the one another that connects everything, right? Before I can encourage someone, if I've got like unforgiveness or anger or frustration or bitterness in my heart, am I going to encourage them? No. Even if I'm just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm like super spiritual. No, I'm not. Now, if I've got anger, bitterness, or unforgiveness in my heart, in my life, am I going to be praying for them? Probably not. And if I've got those things in my heart, in my life, am I going to be loving them well? Nope. So this is the one that we get. If we can get forgiving one another and what that means and what it's about, then all these others, they'll make so much more sense. And we'll be able to and practice them and engage them in a real different way, which kind of brings us to the starting question. You ready for this? Why is it so hard to forgive? You ever wonder that? Why is it so hard to forgive? Now, forgiveness is absolutely 100% not a natural thing to do. Like if I came up to you right now and I just like punched you in your face, how many of you would go, oh, I'll just turn the other cheek so you can just do the other side now. Would you, you're in church and some of you might be like, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, in church, let me do that in Starbucks. And what are you doing? You know, you're bowing up, you're flaring, you're coming at me. You are going to be plotting, you know, your revenge, you know, if I did that to you. And that's just kind of how it is. You know, forgiveness is not our nature. And psychology tells us revenge is our nature. In fact, I'll just tell you my revenge story. And I'm just going to caveat this by, this was 20 years ago. I was single and stupid, and I married a woman to help give me wisdom, because what I'm about to tell you, this story has no wisdom whatsoever in it, but it is my revenge story, and so I'm just putting it out there just for you to hear it. Do not judge me. Okay, so the caveat is done. Let me tell you a story. I'm in seminary. So 20 years ago, you know, I just got out of college, went straight to seminary and was doing, you know, seminary work, you know, all that other good stuff. And when I was in seminary, I was working at a church as a youth pastor, which is really cool. You know, I love youth ministry, love working with teenagers, really awesome, good stuff. I was working as a youth pastor. But one of the classes I had to take was a preaching class. And when I took this preaching class, it was filled with the preacher dudes, you know, like the lead pastor guys, you know, and whenever they come to seminary, whenever they come to school, they're all decked out in their little three-piece suit. Even back then, you wore the little vest and the tie, you know, this is their uniform. This is buckle of the Bible belt. This is Memphis, Tennessee. And so they'd come in just all like proper and everything else. And then I would come into class in my work gear as a youth pastor, you know, shorts, a t-shirt, you know, so I had marshmallow on my face while we were playing Chubby Bunny, you know, just all that. And so that was me coming into class. And for 8 weeks, these guys, these very stoic, you know, basically judged me. You know, oh, there's the youth guy. Youth guy. I listened to it for 8 weeks, you know. Yeah. One day you'll get a real job. One day you'll be doing your real things. And I just received it and I heard it. And I was like, I think God wants to use me to teach them a lesson. And so they had me scheduled to preach. And they actually scheduled me last, dead last. I was a youth guy. He probably has nothing to say to us. And so I was the very last guy to preach in this class. And so that gave me 8 weeks to plan. Dear Lord in heaven, I still can't believe I did this. So anyway, so I had my message already. 8 weeks came. I'd been listening to all this stuff from these guys. Da, 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 da. And when that eighth week got there, I started presenting my message and I was preaching. And I was trying to remember exactly what it was. I think it was something about expectations and not always, you know, what you see is not always what you get kind of thing. And you got points for illustrations. So I brought in this plate of chocolate. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna, yes. And so I brought in this plate of chocolate and they're all like, youth guy, he brings food. food. This is what he does. That's awesome. So I pass this plate of chocolate around, and they just ate it up. I mean, just you could hear them while I was preaching. They had a little chocolate on their mouth, you know, and everything else. And I was like, the deed is done. And so I bring my plate up here and set it down, and I finish preaching. And at the end, I land 2 points. The first point I land is this: hey, things aren't always what you expect. And I don't even remember what the second point was, because after I said that, then I let them know that that plate of chocolate wasn't actually a plate of chocolate, but it was a plate of X-lax. And if you don't know what X-lax is, it's a laxative. And I just basically fed all those guys all that X-lax. And then, yeah, dear Lord in heaven, God immediately convicted me to death. Now, they were greatly moved by the Spirit all day long. But, oh my gosh, I cannot believe it. So what did I have to do after that? Well, I had to practice forgiveness for a whole month. Now, I made an A in a class because I think I clicked all the boxes and had an illustration, and people really responded. So I got an A in the class. But I spent months practicing forgiveness. Even now, I was telling Jen this morning, even now, if I talk to one of those guys, my conversation has to start with, please, brother, forgive me because of what I did and what I carry. Now, Jim, why did you do that? Because I am a bad person that has been redeemed by Jesus. I did that because revenge is part of our nature, right? I mean, you guys could think about me and judge me for that, but revenge and those pieces, they're part of human nature. We're kind of hardwired to that. Psychology. I was a psych major in college, and psychology will tell you that we're hardwired for revenge. That our nature is to kind of get back. Our nature is to rehash and to, you know, to bring justice if we feel like there's been injustice done. They'll even tell you that, you know, when you ever in the car after an argument, and you're like reworking the argument in your head, and you think about all the things you think you wish you would have said. Am I the only? Oh gosh, third service, I need to do a message on not lying, because you guys do that, right? We all do that in the car. In fact, you'll see me sometimes driving. Jim, what are you doing? Praying? No, I'm rehashing an argument that I probably had with Jen. And if I'd have said this, and I'd have said this, and I'd have said this, all things I wouldn't have said, but I was just going through it. Psychology will tell you that even that process of thinking of planning will produce a drug-like endorphin that makes you feel better. That was what they learned in this study. Now, interestingly enough, at the end of the study, they found this, that actually getting revenge, actually going through with it and doing that, produces negative feelings. Like, to this day, I feel extreme guilt over what I did to those poor men and their regularity. And so I feel that. I feel the weight and the depth of that. But what's that all about? It's about, you know, being willing to let go. It's about forgiveness that obviously I wasn't able to do in my journey with that. And it's kind of a part of what we experience as human beings. And not only things that are done to us. There's a whole nother genre of forgiveness that's called secondary offenses. Have you ever gotten offended for someone else? Has that ever happened to you, like a friend or a neighbor or a coworker? Something happened and they didn't get that raise that they deserved, or they got in this argument, or somebody said something to them and then you got offended on their behalf. Oh, I am so offended for you. And that's like the worst thing ever, because what happens with secondary offense, why it's honestly worse than just being offended yourself, is because they can actually go and get resolution. I've seen this in relationships. I've come up to a person and said, hey, listen, we're talking. Obviously, there's a lot of anger, bitterness there. What's going on? Did somebody do something to you? No. But they did something to my friend. I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? And I'll hear the story and like, yeah, they went and got it worked out. They've got resolution, but I can't. I can't get resolution because it didn't happen to me. They're not going to ask me for forgiveness because they're in this journey of those kind of things. And I've seen people absolutely wreck their lives over secondary offenses that they have been carrying for years. And all of that unforgiveness, Jim, why are you bringing this up in such an intense way? Because all that unforgiveness, you think you can just hold unforgiveness in your hands, but you can't. It sprouts. Man, it grows. It grows roots. It gets into our heart and it gets into our life and it gets into our soul. And you know what the roots of unforgiveness are? Bitterness. Absolutely. That stuff gets in our heart and our soul. And pretty soon we are bitter and angry. And that stuff is never self-contained. and it begins to leak. People that you aren't, you're not even angry with, your bitterness will roll over to them. Your anger will roll over to them. Your heart will just spill over in those kind of ways. And even sometimes long after you've forgotten the issue. I've been in enough counseling circumstances where I'm talking to a couple or two people that are just navigating things. And okay, obviously there's anger here. Obviously there's bitterness here. You know, what's the issue? And I've actually literally had them go, I'm mad. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm bitter. Okay. I noted. I see that. What's the actual, I don't even remember. I don't even remember what the issue is. I just remember how I felt and how I feel. And so that unforgiveness, that bitterness, it gets into our heart, it gets into our soul and wrecks our relationships. It's one of the reasons Jesus spends so much time talking about forgiveness. You know, what does Jesus talk about a lot in the Bible? He talks about a lot of things, but forgiveness is like in the top five. Whenever he teaches people, whenever he's talking to people, he's constantly talking about forgiveness because he knows how important forgiveness is for us to have in our life and in our relationships, especially if we're going to do this one another life thing together. And so one of those examples is in Matthew chapter 18. Jesus has just wrapped up teaching about forgiveness to a group of people. There's a large group, and he's like, hey, let's talk about forgiveness. And he teaches about forgiveness, and it's awesome and amazing, and the crowd cheers. Rah, I love your teaching, Jesus. And then Jesus goes off to the side, and he's just hanging out with his disciples. And his disciples are like, hey, you know, let's debrief what you just taught. And so Peter comes up to him. Peter says, hey, Jesus, great. I loved it. You were amazing. Your illustrations, money, spot on. And then Peter steps in with this little statement. He says, Lord, verse 21 of Matthew 18, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, I heard your teaching on forgiveness. How many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Now, here's the thing. In Jewish tradition, it was you could forgive someone three times for the same offense. So I could say something mean to you and you forgive me once, right? Shake your head, yes. Oh yeah, perfect. Good job. I was unsure there for a minute, but we just got one. I can do it again, you forgive me a second time. Do it again, you forgive me a third time. But according to Jewish tradition, you could be done there. You're like, oh, so you got your three. Now I can be angry. So what is Peter doing? Peter is actually saying, hey, listen, I'm gonna take three, I'm gonna double it, and then I'm going to turn it into an extra one. And so Peter is totally stepping into this situation going, no, it's not just three times, Jesus. That was seven times. And I guarantee you, and he's saying it just like this, seven times, right? Right? I'm your favorite. I'm the smart disciple. You know, not just three times, seven times, right, Jesus? And he's probably looking at all the other dudes and everything else and expecting Jesus to go, Peter, you're amazing. You're awesome. You're my favorite. John's nothing to me. You know, all of those things, right? But what does Jesus actually say to Peter? Jesus says this, I tell you, not seven times, Peter, not three times, not seven times, Peter, but 70 times seven. My math whiz is in the house. How many is that? 490. Good job. 490. Now, was Jesus teaching that Peter should just start counting how many times somebody offended him? Okay, that's one. Okay, that's 100. Okay, that's 392. We're at 489. You got one more, buddy. Is that what Jesus is teaching? No. These disciples were fishermen. They weren't math whizzes. They were probably like, you know, 1, 2, duck, square, orange, purple, 12. I mean, he wasn't expecting them to do all this counting. What Jesus is teaching in this moment is, Peter, you need to stop counting. You know, it's not up to three, it's not up to seven. You just need to stop counting because the number of how many times you forgive is so big, you just need to start forgiving. And in order to land that and to really get that into the disciples' heart and life, he tells this parable, a very powerful parable. So it will rock you a little bit if you've never heard it. This is verse 23 of Matthew 18. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And he began this settlement, and a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold, that's like $10 million, right? So owes him, you know, $10 million was brought in to pay him. And since this man was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Wow. That's intense. So everything, this guy, his kids, his wife, all going to be sold into slavery, all of his stuff. I mean, this is a heartbreaking story. And people are like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen. And then Jesus goes on to say, and this servant, he fell on his knees before the king and said, be patient with me, he begged. I will pay everything back. I'll go on an installment plan. I'll get this stuff paid back to you. And then the servant's master, the king, took pity on him and does what? Cancels the debt. Doesn't say, hey, just pay a little. Doesn't just pay, hey, every month you give me a little something, something. Doesn't say any of that. He literally cancels the debt and lets him go. And as he's telling the story, I'm sure the disciples are like, Jesus, best story ever. We love this story. This is amazing. This is an incredible story. But then Jesus goes on, verse 28. But when that same servant who had that huge debt forgiven went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, about 100 bucks. Owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, I will pay it back. Same words that he used to the king. But this guy refuses. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. I'm sure at this point, the disciples were like, crickets, chirp, 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 chirp. Where's Peter leaning over? Where's Jesus going with this? What's happening here? When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told the master everything that had gone on. And the master called that servant in. The king called that servant back and said, you wicked servant, I canceled all of the debt of yours because you begged me to do so. Shouldn't you have had mercy and grace on your fellow servant just as I have had on you? And in his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owes. And then Jesus finishes with this statement, and this just really brings it home. Now, this is how my heavenly Father will treat you, each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Whew. Have you ever read that story? You know, that's the parable that Jesus teaches. Now, before you go super dark and go, oh my gosh, I need to run out and forgive everyone because God's going to torture me. He's going to make sure I'm thrown in jail and he's going to make sure I'm beaten until, you know, all that. That's not what God is actually saying here for you. He's not going to torture you. He's not going to make sure you get thrown in prison, but he will allow unforgiveness to do its work in your heart and your life. He will allow that. And I'll tell you what, unforgiveness, it will do some of the greatest torture to your soul that can ever be done if we don't turn loose of it, if we don't let it go. The real point of the story that Jesus was landing for us is this, that we are the servant and not the servant that owed 100 bucks. Which servant are we? The one that owed the 10 million. We are the servant that had this huge debt. We're the ones that owed everything. And we owed it to the king. And that is us. That's what Jesus wants these disciples to get, what he wants us to get, that we had this huge debt. And the king and his great mercy, the king and his great grace, what did he do? He forgave it. He didn't put us on installment plans or anything. He just said, I forgive everything. Go walk in that freedom. Go walk in that grace. Go walk in that hope. And so no matter what debt anyone else owes us, and people owe us debts, no matter what anyone else owes us for what they've done, it will never be greater than our debt that we owed to God, which he freely forgave. And so that deeper truth that needs to lodge in our soul is simply this. Sometimes I struggle to forgive when I forget how much I've been forgiven. Sometimes I struggle to forgive when I forget just how much God has forgiven me. That's the truth that he wanted these disciples to understand. He says, listen, you have been forgiven of so much, and so much has been lifted off your plate. We should go and then do what? Forgive the way God has forgiven us. Now, I get forgiveness is a challenging thing. Some of you in this room, every service, some of you in this room have had things happen to you that you would say to me right now, Jim, if you only knew what you were asking, if you only knew the depth of what was done to me, the scar that was left, the pain that is there, you would not be asking me to do this.
You would absolutely not ask me to do this if you understood my story. God sees your story. He knows those pieces, and yet he asks us to do it anyway, because he knows. He knows what unforgiveness does. He knows the scars that you received, but he knows the even deeper scars that will be created if we keep holding on to the anger and the bitterness and the rage and the rejection and the hopelessness that comes from holding unforgiveness in the heart of our soul. Now, culture teaches a lot about unforgiveness, and sometimes what they teach actually isn't even accurate. So I just want to give you a few things to help you understand what forgiveness is so that you get just how to do this. And the first thing I want to tell you this, and I think it's important. When I say to forgive someone, I am not asking you to condone what happened. Sometimes people get that idea. Jim, I can't forgive them because what they did was not okay. And forgiving means, you know, that I'm saying it's okay what happened to me. And that's not forgiveness at all. In fact, your forgiveness might start by saying, what you did was not okay. What you did, what happened, what you said, those things were not okay. But I'm not going to let that lodge into my soul. I'm not going to hold on to that. I'm not going to let that stop me from letting go and forgiving. So forgiveness isn't condoning the things that have happened to you. Some things that have happened to you that should not have happened to you, and forgiveness is not condoning it. Forgiveness is also not forgetting. When I was growing up, I had a bunch of siblings. There were 8 of us all together. We were a blended family. It was a hodgepodge, mixed match, and we were always hurting, punching, offending each other, right? And my mom would come in and she would say this phrase, forgive and forget. You just need to forgive and forget. Just forgive and forget. And I'm like, woman, this is a trap. An elephant lives here, and I never forget this stuff, you know? And so, you know, brothers and sisters, we hold on to these things, and we totally do that. So sometimes forgiving and forgetting isn't even possible with us. And that comes from, actually that phrase comes from God's ability to choose to forget our sins. He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west to remember them no more. So God has the ability to forgive and forget, which is amazing. But we as humans don't always have that. And when we talk about forgiveness, we're not even commanded to do it. God says, I'm not asking you to forget what happened. Sometimes remembering is important. Sometimes we need to remember what happened so we can bring accountability. Sometimes we need to remember what happened so we can set boundaries. And if you forgive and you forget, you just step right back into that situation that got you hurt to begin with. That is not a good and that is not a healthy thing. But what God says in this remembering, he says, you can remember it, but don't hold on to it. Don't keep it so close to your soul and so close to your heart that it leaks into who you are. Have you ever been so angry and so mad and so frustrated that you were going to use that anger and rage to punish the other person? I'm going to do this and it's going to hurt them. You ever done that in a relationship? I have. You know what? It's this illustration that I've heard so many times. It's like drinking poison, thinking it's going to hurt the other person. Oh, I'm going to drink this and you're going to be so pained by it. And they're like, I don't even know who you are, dude. You know, go, 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 go. What does it do? It kills us, doesn't do a thing to them. And when we hold on to our rage and our anger and our bitterness, it kills us without doing a thing to them. And what God is simply saying is that's not what I want for you and your heart and your life. I want forgiveness for you. And the last one I'll give you is I think is an important one. Forgiveness, honestly, it's not always reconciling. Reconciliation is always the goal, right? I want every relationship, two people always working it out. That's my goal. When I do conflict resolution, when I wade into relationships, I'm sorry. How can we work this out? How can we make sure you two, you four, you 12 walk out of here in great relationship with each other? But here's the truth of the matter. Forgiveness doesn't require reconciliation. It's the outcome we want, but it doesn't require it. And I say that because some of you this week are going to go practice forgiveness. You're going to walk into a relationship, a situation, and you're going to be vulnerable. You're going to be open, and you're going to say, hey, just so you know, I'm working through this journey of forgiveness, and I forgive you. And they're going to reject you. Some people won't even own what they did. Why are you forgiving me? I didn't do anything to you. And you're going to walk out of that going, did I fail? Where there's no reconciliation. They won't even talk to me. They're so angry. Whatever it is, they're still holding on to it. Jim, did I do forgiveness? Scripturally, you did, because remember, we are not responsible for other people's responses. We're just responsible for our part. We're responsible for forgiving. We're responsible for letting go. That's our journey with this. And just by the way, that phrase, let it go, let me just circle around that a little bit. Do you know what the word forgiveness means? It's a Greek word, aphemi. Do you know what it actually means? It means to release or to set free. So when Scripture says, hey, forgive one another, what Scripture is actually talking about is releasing them and setting them free. That's what we're called to do. We're called to turn them loose. When we have unforgiveness, we are tied to that person. It's a crazy thing. We are tied to them in a way that is so wrong and so unhealthy. We've got this tie. And what Scripture is saying, hey, forgive them. Let go. Cut the string. Turn them loose so that they're not a weight in your heart and your life. And so forgive them. Release them. But you know what else? Release yourself. I think some of the greatest weights we carry in unforgiveness is sometimes when we don't forgive ourselves. And I've been in this journey, I've been on this track long enough to carry stuff that I just won't let go of. God says, I'll forgive that, bro. I'll forgive that. And I carry it. And I hold on to it. And Jesus says, forgiveness is being set free. Let me set you free. Can you receive my forgiveness? And it's this powerful thing that we do when we understand forgiveness is we turn other people loose and we turn ourselves loose to live in the freedom of God's grace and God's mercy and God's hope and God's truth. I mean, some of us need to hear that because we need to be set free. We're carrying this weight of circumstance, of words, of just life on us, and we need the freedom given through forgiveness. And so I just got just a couple of moments here. Every week I've been giving you practical things so you can go practice this. And so here's the three practical things. You grab a pen, you can write these down. Just three practical things with forgiveness that I think you're going to need. First one is this. Recognize forgiveness will be a journey. I would love to say that it only takes one time to forgive a person. I don't know about you, but I have forgiven people. You know, hey, we got it worked out. Yeah, we're forgiven. And then I go and I get in my truck and I'm driving and I'm like halfway down the road and I start thinking about it. And I'm fired up about it. And then you see me in my truck just doing my finger about it again. No. And I've gotten all worked out. When I was driving to church today, I was thinking about some of this forgiveness stuff and some circumstances came to my life. And I felt myself getting all worked up about it again. I'm like, Jesus, oh my goodness, I feel this again. And what did he ask me to do? Forgive it again. Some of us are just going to have to wash, rinse, and repeat when it comes to this forgiveness thing. Because it's not just going to go away. The Scripture is not magic. It's process. And sometimes we're just going to come back to it and we're going to feel it again. Okay, that's right. Freedom. That's right. Forgiveness. Freedom. I'm letting it go. I picked it up again. All right. How did that get in my hands? I'm letting it go. I picked it up again. Let it go. And that's the journey you're going to be on. It may take a week. It may take a month. It may take years. But as we do this journey of forgiveness, we pull those roots out of our heart and our soul and become healthy people that God called us to be. Some of us, here's the second thing. Some of us, forgiveness can't be our first step. I get this. I know enough of your stories to know that forgiveness cannot be your first step. You're like, Jim, you're asking the impossible. You're asking the impossible. And I get that. Some of the trauma, the damage, the heartache is deep. So maybe your first step isn't forgiveness. You know what your first step is? Pray. Your first step this morning is just, I can commit. Here's what I can do, Jim. I can commit to pray for them. And I don't mean pray a house falls on them. Not that prayer. Dear Jesus, just strike them with lightning for what they've done. I don't mean that. I mean pray. God, they stole my hope. But can you give them hope? Father, they hurt my heart. Ah, but can you redeem theirs? Father, they stole my joy, but can you restore to them that joy? You know what happens when we pray for others? Two things. One, God works in those other people, and God works in those circumstances, and God works in those situations. He said he does that, which is awesome, and that's really cool. You know where else God works? In us. As we pray, some of God's greatest work isn't out there. Some of God's greatest work is right in here. And as we pray, as we bring these things to God, as we talk to God, then God says, hey, I might not change them, but I absolutely 100% can change you, because you have come to me and you're yielded and you're open and you want my deeper work in your heart and your life. Let me set you free. Which brings me to this last practical thing you can do. Ask God for help. As hard as loving one another was, for some of you, forgiving one another will be the hardest. And you don't have the strength for it. You can't do it. I get it. I understand it. It is beyond us. That's a natural person talking, but it's never beyond God. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So maybe you just memorize that verse this week, and every time you step into forgiving, you just quote that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, this is beyond me. I can't forgive these people. I can't forgive this circumstance, but you can. Can I have your strength? Can I have your mercy? Can I have your grace? And then watch what God does as he pours into us what we need to be who he's called us to be. This is what God wants for us. So if this is what God wants for us, this is what he's going to empower each of you to do. What he empowers us to do in this journey of forgiveness. So final question, who is it? All of us are probably thinking of someone, multiple people, that this is what we need to practice. Maybe a face, maybe a name, maybe it's just you. Maybe they're long gone, but you have held unforgiveness in your heart and your soul. And God wants you to begin the journey of forgiving them in these processes. And so we're gonna sing a song. As we're doing that, maybe you just pray. Maybe ask God, do your work. Maybe it's just simply, Father, give me the strength. But this week, you do the business of forgiving one another and see how God releases you and sets you free to hope and life and peace and joy and goodness. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for us and ask God to give us the ability to do this truth. And we'll sing together. Father, maybe this is the hardest one. Maybe this is the toughest journey. Forgiving other people. I know a lot of things have happened to us. This world is mean and cruel. This world can frustrate. And whatever unforgiveness, whatever anger, whatever frustration has lodged in our soul that the enemy is using to bind us, to depress us, to bring us down, Father, let us in these next few moments release those things. Maybe starting with a prayer. Father, you give people the strength to pray. Maybe it's just going straight to forgiveness. Father, I forgive. Give us the strength we need to forgive. Maybe some folks in here just need to forgive themselves. They've been carrying a label, a weight around, and they just need to turn it loose because there is no condemnation in Christ. Father, give them the strength to feel your grace. Give them the openness to feel your love and your compassion. And Father, maybe there's just one or two that just don't even know what it's like to be in a forgiven, deep relationship with you, walking as your son and daughter. Let those folks come to you in your presence and just experience your forgiveness as they yield their lives to who you are. Father, you be our God, our Lord, our Savior. Do your deep work in each of us, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.